my mic on? How many of you were awake the other night when that wind started blowing? Yeah. My wife slept right through it. Bo the Wonder Dog slept right through it. I was wide awake, and I was wondering not only about the trees in front of your parsonage, but now the trees over at my house. And I wasn't there to know until the next day, but got kind of worried about that. Storms come like that, don't they? The wind starts blowing, things start changing, matters start getting difficult, and then there it is. I was talking this morning with Venetia. Are you okay with me sharing something you said to me? Go right ahead. Okay. She said she's going to get me a Cadillac. No, I'm kidding. She was telling me about her daughter's golden retriever, just a little bit older than Bo. And her daughter had to put that dog down recently. And oh, did that bother me? Because just a little bit older than my Bo, you know, and I'm attached to that little fella. It's the hardest thing in the world when those kind of struggles, even with our pets, come to us, and they sneak up on us. They come up on us from nowhere. I'll be a little bit open to you, and I'm doing this at this stage in the sermon might mean you get out of here early, because what I'm about to say to you, it won't get off my brain, so I have to tell you. But once I tell you, if I can't get back on course, I'll just leave. When they said this morning that Travis had a special announcement for you, you heard the announcement, right? You're supposed to bring in your pictures. You're going to have a church directory, right? Did you all hear that correctly? Bring in a picture. We want Scott to know who you are, who you fit with. I thought when Diana asked the question about family or singles, I thought, gee, Diana, you could really mess with him, you know? Just pick out four or five random people and get a photo and let him figure it out on his own. But anyway, church directory, right? Let the new pastor know who you are. Do you know what I heard? I heard you moving on. And Travis's simple announcement to you to bring a picture felt to me like a knife, not an angry knife, just a difficult struggle. Because not only are you moving on, but I have to start. Are you with me? Letting go. Struggle's real. I'm getting closer and closer to the day when I'll no longer be your pastor, will no longer be anybody's pastor. And now all at once, all these questions come up, which many of you in this room have dealt with before. Is the money going to last? I just bought a house. Do you know how difficult it is to get a house ready to move into when you're trying to move out of another one? What about health insurance? Forget the health insurance. What about your health? All those questions, because they come out of nowhere, just like Phoenicia's daughter's dog, or those things that we don't expect to come up in life. Storm the other night, by my estimation, I don't know how long it rained, but the wind, I heard it for an hour before I fell asleep. Jacob, his storm in our story today lasted for 21 years. Jacob had left home. He left home under bad circumstances. He had swindled his brother and ruined the relationship. And actually, when he gets to where he's going to, he winds up being swindled by somebody else, his future father-in-law. And all around Jacob, all of his relationships were struggles. They were difficult, sometimes of his own doing, sometimes just by virtue of what happens in life. But now he's going back. And when he's going back to see that brother who he had tricked, the brother who he had not only bought the birthright from, if you know the story, but he also stole the blessing from. And his brother had reason to be as angry as he could be. And as he goes, and he's got his family with him getting ready to go, he sends his family ahead, and he spends the night doing something that I can't even imagine. He wrestles with somebody. He wrestles with God. God, in wrestling with him, actually pulls his hip joint out of socket. And in that event, he's trying to have something happen in Jacob's life to deal with the storm, not only that he's created, but the storm that he's in. You know what I've noticed about the scariest of storms? There was a little boy I was around the other day in the middle of the day, and a little crack of thunder happened. And that little boy, not even 2 years old yet. No, that's the wrong child. This little boy's about 4 or 5. It frightened him. And in broad daylight, actually a little bit sunny out, that crack of thunder didn't bother me at all. For that little life, it scared him immensely to hear that. And everybody was saying, it's okay, settle down, telling me, oh, he's afraid of thunder. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Jacob, his struggle happened not in the daylight, but at night. Have you ever noticed when our worst struggles come our way, that nighttime gets difficult? Is that true for you? I'm finding it harder and harder to sleep every night lately, because I'm struggling with so many things on so many fronts. And as Jacob began wrestling with God, I wonder if he knew he was wrestling with, if he wouldn't have just ran away. But he didn't know at the beginning who he was wrestling at. If he had known that their battle was going to last all night in the dark, because that's how long it lasted, would he have not said, gee, I'm just going to go somewhere else with my family for the night so I'm not here alone? But he wasn't told that this was how it was going to go. But he had that wrestling match unannounced. He had that wrestling match unbeknownst to him, and he had it all night long in the dark. I don't know about you, but when struggles come, they don't want to say we're afraid. I don't have any trouble saying I'm afraid. It becomes very scary in the darkness, and you have to struggle. It became very seriously dark and a real struggle for Jacob, because it was not just dark, there was not just something to be afraid of, but there was the uncertainty, the unknown of what's going to happen next. And some people I've known in life who have gone through really difficult struggles, they don't end when the light comes. You ever know anybody like that? That it seems like their struggle just goes on and on and on. Now, I'd love to tell you today that Jacob's struggle was one where he came out in victory. And you may say he did, because he wrestled with God all night. And God had to reach the point where he actually separated the hip bone on Jacob in order to get him to stop. But this was by no means a victory for Jacob. He was defeated. This wrestling match was a wrestling match for his life. He didn't win anything here. I'm not even sure he really truly survived. He really got destroyed. The hardest joint in your body to separate is the hip bone. And all night long in this wrestling match, with this desire to survive the unknown, it comes to an end when the other contestant, who we now know as God, separates his hip bone. Jacob did seemingly walk away a winner, but in truth, he walked away defeated. He struggled pretty well, but he lost the match. I want you to listen to this one verse. I already read it to you. When the man saw that he didn't prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. The struggle was not that he won. The struggle actually ended in defeat. Pulling out his hip bone gave the other person the advantage. I got up this morning. I've got 2 or 3 tears in my rotator cuff, we've discovered. I've got stenosis in my neck, and it's going down, radiating down my right shoulder and going down my back and into my shoulder and down my arm. And I've been wrestling with this for almost 18 months now. And it causes difficulty to pick up a cup. It causes difficulty to do a lot of things. But I picked up a plastic comb this morning and went to comb my hair. Oh, did it hurt? I mean, I shouted out loud, whatever cut, whatever grabbed, whatever it was that happened, oh, did that hurt? I want you to imagine your hip bone. I want you to imagine your hip being pulled out of joint. When that happened to me with that comb this morning, I just shriveled up in weakness. But I've never had my hip joint pulled out. And Esau, or rather Jacob, in this battle with God, it really was a consummation of his struggle with his brother Esau, his father Isaac, his father-in-law Laban. And as he's struggling with God and God pulls that hip bone out, when it got to daylight, Jacob says, let me go. Rather, God says, let me go. The day is broken. And Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, there's something I want you to notice there. God's name is never used in the passage. But suddenly, Jacob knows who it is he's dealing with. Let me ask you about your struggles. When you get to the place where you're asking questions like this, why is this happening to me? Did you ever think to yourself that there's a reason for it? When you're in one of those real bad battles in life and you can't understand what's coming next and it seems like you're afraid and fearful and there's no sense to it and all is darkness, at some point do you come to the place where you just ask the question, what is this about? Jacob says to God, I'm not letting go of you until you, because I know who you are, until you bless me. And God says, tell me your name. And he says, My name is the Wily One. My name is the Trickster. I'm the one that fools everybody. In fact, I've made it through life cheating my way through. I stole the blessing from my brother, really tricked my father in the process. My father-in-law thought he got me, but I really got him. My name's Jacob. And the man he's wrestling says, your name is no longer Jacob. Your name's Israel. Because you've struggled with God and with men, and you've prevailed. God blessed him. How often, and I want you to see this delineation I'm trying to make. Yes, Jacob knew as he goes down there, Esau's going to be coming, his brother who he tricked. Yes, as he goes down there, he's going to have to go into all the old stuff, all of his past, all of the things. And yet, as he goes, and he's wrestling with all of these things, and he goes that night, and he finally wrestles with God, I wonder if he ever realized as he was headed back that all of his struggles with people we're going to be a way that God struggled with him to make him stronger. You remember when I was in seminary in Pittsburgh, I had a class, it was called storytelling. Can you imagine Joel Adkins telling stories? And the guy that taught it, after the class, it was on a Wednesday night, it was in the evening, we would go to his house and watch Cheers. You remember Cheers? And what's the music for Cheers? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. God says to Jacob, what's your name? Can I tell you something, church? God already knows Jacob's name. say it. What's Jacob's name? The heel catcher, the tripper, the trickster, the deceiver, the wily one. Jacob, what is your name? Own up to it. Jacob, tell me who you are, not who you want people to think you are. Jacob, tell me who you are, not who people want you to be. Jacob, tell me who you are. Own up to what you've done. And Jacob very simply says, my name's Jacob. And God says, Jacob, your name is not Jacob. Your name is Israel. For you've now wrestled with God. What do you think Jacob learned in the struggle that he had? I'll give you a really big hint. I think what Jacob learned was, if you want to have power with God, you have to be fully aware of how dependent you are on God. So many of us think if it's to be, it's up to me. So many of us think if this is going to happen, it really depends on me doing it. Jacob was taught a lesson in this wrestling match. God knows exactly who you are. And God wants you to know exactly who he is. And once you admit the reality of who you are, Jacob, I will begin to reveal to you the reality of who I am. Jacob disclosed to God not only who he was, but how much he needed God in this moment. He learned that the way he could have power with God would only occur by being broken by God. You may have never had your hip pulled out a joint, but you've had the struggle that probably brought you to the breaking point. Jacob's struggle brought him to the place where he realized that he really needed God more than anything else. Jacob paid for the birthright. He stole the blessing. He outwitted his father-in-law Laban, but he never got ahead of God. When he finally admitted who he was, that's when he began to recognize the covenant that God had made with him. And with his fathers, Abraham and Isaac. When he began to realize that God was going to do what he said he'd do, even if the wrestling match lasted all night, or even for several hundred or thousand years. You know what would be said to children in Egypt about 500 years later? God blessed Abraham, and that's why you're here. God blessed Isaac, and that's why you're here. And God blessed Jacob, and that's why you're here. And I can almost guarantee you that some little boy or some little child said to their parents, you mean to tell me that being a Jew means that being God's chosen rather means that I have to live in bondage? And one day that same little child realized that it was only through the struggle that they could get the blessing. Jacob didn't bargain with God for the blessing. Jacob didn't connive with God for the blessing. Jacob clinged on to God, and he asked for the blessing. God said, let go of me, the daylight's come. And Jacob said, I'm not letting go of you, because I know who you are now, until you bless me. And God blessed him. want you to know something, church. When Jacob got up, finally got up, he walked a little bit differently. Jacob limped because of his hip. He had been broken by God. And that limp was a reminder to him not of his own weakness, but of God's ultimate power. And with every step he took, he would be reminded that the greatest blessing he ever had did not come from the giant pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, but rather from a God who could take struggle and weakness and uncertainty and fear and darkness and turn it into something unimaginably good. And Jacob's greatest strength came out of his weakest moment. Now, we've talked all about the struggle this morning that Jacob had with God through the night. But 21 years had passed since he'd seen his brother last. He'd amassed quite a fortune. He had two wives. He had children. And as he heads in to meet the brother who he had betrayed, he's sending everything he has ahead of him as gifts. Here comes cattle. Here comes sheep. Here comes all this stuff because he's worried about what Esau's going to do. And you think the wrestling match was bad. But the mental, spiritual, emotional thing that was going on in him as he headed in to see his brother was nearly as big of a match. And he was reminded that he was dependent not on himself, but on the God who wrestled with him. And as he got closer to his brother, I want you to look at this verse. Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. Jacob's greatest strength came in his weakest moment. Have you noticed that God has a way of doing that? Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 12, "Lest I would be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to keep me from thinking more of myself than I ought to." Now, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. Maybe Paul had a bad hip. Maybe Paul had a sore shoulder. Some have said that perhaps Paul was going blind. We don't know what it was. What we do know is that Paul said that God had given him, allowed him, permitted for him to have this thorn in the flesh. And it humbled him and kept him from thinking too much about himself. And I want you to hear how Paul looked at that. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says this, "For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weakness, with hardship, with persecution, with calamity. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Are you struggling this morning? For the Christian, when you're weak, that's when God reveals his greatest work. Jesus, when he was on the cross, said things like this, "I thirst. Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. My God, how could you forsake me?" You want to talk about struggle? The very Son of God knew it. And church, friend, if you're here today and hearing what I'm saying, the greatest strength that Jacob found was in his weakest moment. And the greatest blessing that was given to you and me was found in Christ's weakest moment. And when you're going through the struggle that seems like it's going to break you, remember this truth. God's greatest strength is revealed in the weakest moments. Does it seem like you've struggled forever? Does it seem like you've wrestled with God all night long and it's not given up? Does it seem to you like your circumstance and your situation can no longer be handled by you doing your very best? Good. You've heard it said before that you either get bitter or you'll get better. May I suggest to you today that you look to the one who in his weakest moment revealed his greatest strength. When Jesus died upon the cross, the greatest work that was ever done was accomplished. The forgiveness of our sins, the covering of our iniquity, the healing of our worst disease. But when Jesus came out of the grave, he revealed the strength that God had blessed him with, that he had inside of himself. And that was that he was God, and he held the keys of life, of hell, and of death. And because he lives, no matter how bad your struggle is, no matter the wrestling match that you're going through right now, no matter the crossroads you're at, the circumstance you're in, you can, in that moment, turn to the one who takes weakness and makes it strength, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand with me?